very prominent theologian was asked what was the greatest thing about the Christian life that he knew. And they were waiting for some deep and theological thing that this theologian was going to talk about, and how he was going to explain it to them, and they listened with bated breath and open ears. And the theologian said, "This is the greatest thing that I know. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And that, he said, is the greatest thing that I know. So we're in good company this morning. And we're going to think particularly about these words of Jesus, that as he has loved us, so we are to love one another. In verse 17 that we read, he says, "These things I command you, that you love one another." In verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And if we go back just a couple of chapters to John, and you'll know this perfectly well, of course, yourselves. As we go back just a couple of chapters, Jesus has the same thing to say, doesn't he, to his disciples. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you," he says. So therefore, we are told that Jesus really does love us, that God loves us. One of the definitions of a friend is a lovely definition that I got from the Oxford Dictionary. "A friend is a sympathizer and a helper." Now these two things I think apply as well to Jesus to us. The first thing that we need to understand, and this is really important, is that God, being God, does not actually need friends. Now this is hugely important. Because you see, it may be sometimes that we feel so wretched, I don't know about you, but from personal experience, how can God love me after this? How can God still be a friend to me after this has happened and this has happened? And it may be sometimes that if we are, those of us who are not as young as we were, that you go back to younger years, and past failures come to haunt and to say. But we need to understand that God loves us because he loves us and not because he needs to love us. And then you see God says, "Well, I love anyone." Most of human love is actually need love, and if that love is firm long enough, then it will go away. But God's love never does. C.S. Lewis has written a lovely book called The Four Loves. You should still be able to get on. And the greatest love of all, he says, and listen to what he says. "Divine gift love, that is the love of God. Love yourself working in a man is wholly disinterested and desires what is simply best for the beloved. Again, natural gift love is always directed when the lover finds in some way intrinsically lovable." In other words, when you fall in love with somebody, there is something about them that causes you to fall in love with them, by definition. And that does become a mutual love. But you see, the lovely thing about God is that he loved us before ever we loved him. And therefore, because he did that, and because he does not need love, then God is always going to love us. So whatever else happens in our lives, whatever else goes wrong, God is going to love us because he loves us because he does, and not because of something good in us. And that is the security that the person who is a Christian has, that God is going to love us. He goes on, Lewis, he says, "The natural gift love is always directed for people who have something to love. They are intrinsically lovable," he says. "Objects which are affection of grace or a shared part of our view attract him. or failing that to the grateful deserving, or perhaps to those who in helplessness have a winning, appealing way. So in other words, there's something, there is, that causes the human being to love another human being. But divine gift love enables him to love that which is not naturally lovable. Lepers, criminals, enemies, the sneering and the snobbery, he said. Now that is wonderful. And this morning, therefore, in this lovely story that we have, Jesus says, and Jesus is the whole expression of the love of God. Many years ago, I worked in the London City Commission. I knocked on doors, and I knocked on a woman's door. And I said, I've come to tell you, it was a little sort of opening that I had, that God loves you. Big mistake. This woman called me most names under the sun that she knew, and she said, young man, as I was, never ever come here again to tell me that God loves me. She'd had contact with the church, she had. But you see, her life had fallen apart. Tragedy after tragedy had happened. And she said, I no longer believe that God loves me. Now the real tragedy was that this woman had left the only love that could ever love her now. Do you see? And therefore this morning, God loves us and needing nothing, He loves us because He loves us, and we are loved by Him. Not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is. So I don't know a lot of you, and it may be this morning that you are wondering, you look at your past, and say, well, could God ever love me? Let's come to Jesus, because He is the answer to that. I love you, He said. And as we shall see in a moment or two, the lovely thing is that not needing us and not needing love, God can love us with all His love, and our hearts respond to Him in the God who has first loved us. For if God hadn't loved us, we would never have loved Him. So if we're Christians, if we get a bit beyond our station sometimes, let us remember that we are who we are only by God's love and by God's grace. And this should cause us, and we should look a little bit about this evening, to reach out to one another again in the love of Christ. And when the whole of God's people reach out to one another in love, all the issues, sadly, then things get sorted. I do. But we'll look at that just a bit later on. So God does not need friends, but the lovely thing is, He doesn't need friends actually because of the Trinity. Because He is entirely complete within Himself. We need just to mention that. The Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit are one, needing nothing and no one. They have no need, love, because they are one. And that's why Jesus was able to pray to His Father in such words, glorify thou me with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Just think of that. Think of that time before God had a people. Just think of that. There in eternity past. Father, Son and Holy Spirit. And that is a glorious thing. He didn't need anything. Didn't need us. And yet God said, let's make man. First of all through the Jewish race so they could glorify Him. And then through Christ. A privilege to be a Christian. So therefore, the first thing we see this morning, just to encourage us, if we're feeling, as I sometimes do, so utterly wretched as to whether God can love me, He does, because He loves me. He did. And He will, everlastingly, until we're with Him in perfecting love. That is not really important to say this so that we can see, we're going to see that in a minute or two. But it is just the security, the lovely knowledge that God did all of them. So therefore, although God did not need friends, God wants friends. He desires that, His friendship. And the lovely thing is, of course, that that we speak of both the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and we think of friendship. In the Old Testament, God talks about Abraham as his friend. It's lovely, isn't it? And I want to say this to you, and it's really important, that as we think of Abraham, and as we think in a moment or two, that Jesus says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So this is not an equal friendship, we're going to come to that. But what was it about Abraham that made him God's friend? And then I thought back to Genesis, and I thought, well, surely it was because God said to Abraham, come out from amongst all, the word stand at oceans, well, is it? Come out from, he says, and follow me. Do you see that? So God says, Abraham's my friend, and the friendship there, well, certainly is there because of Abraham's, is it? Somebody's just having a look for me. The friendship is there because Abraham, this is Genesis 12, isn't it? Yeah. So look up when you get home, and it says that God says to Abraham, leave everything and follow me. More or less, isn't it? What kind of faith is that? And therefore, God says of Abraham, I'm going to call one name, Abraham, and somewhere else I think, my friend. So God wants a friend. And he says to Abraham, come out, I'm going to make you a great nation. And I'm going to do it through a friend, not by force, but by friendship. And Abraham is known as the friend of God. And here is Jesus saying exactly the same thing, which we're going to look at in a moment or two. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So the same principle applies. That Jesus says, you be my friends, you follow me, you trust me, you obey me, and see the friendship that I give to you. And therefore I always need to examine my life, to look at those areas, and we'll come to this in a minute, where perhaps I've gone my own way, and I've got this here, which isn't, I know, what Jesus wants for me. Maybe a bad feeling, we'll talk a bit this evening, about a relationship with one another. It may be a habit I've got into, some words, an attitude. And the Holy Spirit comes and says, well, wow, right? Good friend of Jesus, aren't you? And that's why I always say that a Christian will sin, but he will never sin as if it didn't matter. Because the Holy Spirit is there. So therefore, the Father is friend of Abraham and friend of us. Jesus here says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And the Holy Spirit is known as the Comforter. And one of the lovely meanings of that word paraclete, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is essentially one who is on our side. And that is the essence of that word. And by definition, therefore, our friend. For one who is on our side is our friend. And it was used, that word, mostly of a defense lawyer in those days. And a defense lawyer, of course, is someone who defends somebody who's been accused of something. And he was on the side, on their side. And when Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, up would I look, and there is the Lord Jesus, and there is the Holy Spirit, my defense lawyer, who brings me to the Father. So therefore the Holy Spirit and Jesus the Son and the Father are those who are on our side, our friends. And I love that little verse of the Holy Spirit. Be with me when no other friend the secret of my heart can share. And be thou known when fears descend by thy best name of comfort. So the Holy Spirit is our friend in those dark hours of the night perhaps, when fears descend. And here is the Holy Spirit, our friend, dwelling within us here on earth. He shows us again the Lord Jesus, bringing us to the Father. Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, and the Father are all seen here in the Word of God as being on our side. And that's what being a Christian means, to have Jesus with us, Jesus our friend. So that is the first thing here. But there is another one, and that is the cost of the friendship of Jesus. So Jesus says this to his disciples, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." So therefore this friendship is not on an equal basis, but it is the friendship of obedience. And you and I, if we're going to, and we're going to look at a minute at the cost of that friendship that causes this to be the case. If I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus, then I need to be aware that he is my Lord as well as my friend. And I am to be obedient to him out of love rather than duty. That's really important. Because you see, if the Lord Jesus is my friend, if he has died on the cross in order, as we shall see in a moment or two, to obtain that friendship, in order that I might be brought to God, then my obedience to him is not the obedience of a slave that does it because he has to, but as a friend who does it because he wants to. And every Christian living this Christian life will have the desire, given by the Holy Spirit, to please Jesus. And therefore the Holy Spirit comes to us when we sin, in whatever form that sin is, and the Holy Spirit convicts us, shows us where we've gone wrong. Well, he did that. He does that because he loves us. That's why. As a good parent, as a good friend, you see, a true friend will tell you when things are a bit wrong as well. Superficial friends won't do that, but a true friend will. And therefore, we are to be open to what the Lord Jesus is saying to us, and to be obedient when we are convicted and shown by the Holy Spirit, perhaps through the Word of God, perhaps through another very grave Christian, that there are things in our lives that need noticing, and to be obedient to that. Therefore, if we're Christians this morning, if we know God and the Lord Jesus as this true friend, I have to ask myself if there are places in my life that I'm not being obedient to the Lord. And in our prayer times that we have with the Lord, we always need to be open through the Word of God and through the working of the Holy Spirit to those friends, where to those places and things where Jesus says, you're not following me quite right there. The things that you need to deal with. Tell them quite recently. With an attitude. You know? And I was getting quite fond of this attitude. And then, when I was reading the Word of God, something happened, and the Holy Spirit said, "Right, well, stop there. I am your friend. And this your friend, I'm telling you this, and I deal with it." True friend does that. It's not my friends who are going to tell you you've got a blotch on the side of your face that you haven't wiped off or something. But a true friend will, because you're going to be far better if it's gone, sort of thing. So let's be obedient friends of Jesus, if we know and love him. Indeed, Jesus assumes it. "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Right? There's no get out clause there. And when we know Jesus, then we know what he commands us, both by the Word of God, which we neglect at our cost, and by the Holy Spirit taking that Word of God and applying it to our lives and showing us that because we are friends of Jesus. And do you know that? I think it's gone on, because it was hindering me and what? So So that's the second thing, or the third, wherever we are, about our friendship, that it is not a one-to-one on an equal basis friendship. It is being open to listen to the commands of Jesus. And as we say this evening, the greatest of those commands is that we love one another, and we're going to look at that and how that works, as Jesus has loved us, he says. We'll look at that this evening. Now the next thing that we need to look about this this friendship of Jesus is this, that it was obtained at a great, great cost. And this is what he says: greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Now this is on, obviously, as you know, on a lot of war memorials and all this kind of thing. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that is true in that sense, but you see, the difference here is that Jesus laid down his life before we were his friends. Mm-hmm. And that's the point. So therefore, although it's nice for people to take this little clause and to put it on memorial, they're going to jump on a lucky little thing. It's not always here. Because Paul tells us in Romans, doesn't he? Paul tells us that here is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And gave his life to be this, I think that's the Romans one, and gave his life to be that very strong word in the Authorized Version, which newer ones have it's a bit too strong for, so they've left it out, which is a bit of a shame. To be the old word is the propitiation. So here is the love of God. So we didn't love him, and we need to understand that if God hadn't loved us first, then we're sunk. Yeah. But he did. And Jesus came to be the old word, propitiation. They've changed it to atoning sacrifice or something like that. Because you see, what the word of propitiation actually means is the appeasing of the wrath of an angry God. Mm-hmm. That's what it means. Mm-hmm. But that's not wrong. Because God is angry with sin. He's angry with its destructive power. He's angry with the pain it causes. He's angry with relationships. He's angry with the things that cause others pain. And sin destroys and sin mars. And sin ultimately separates us from God, which if it's not dealt with would lead to that eternal separation from God, which the Bible calls hell. And that's why Jesus came, in order to deal with that sin, and to turn enemies into friends. That's what it is. So when I trust Jesus as Saviour, when I confess my sin to him, and accept him into my life, by definition, it means that I turn from myself and turn to him. And that Jesus has died in order that sin might be taken away. A man laid down his life for his friends, says Jesus. And Jesus has laid down his life for us, not in order that we should be his friends, but in order that he might be a friend to us first, when we were not his friends, in order to make us his friends. And when he laid down his life for us, we were not his friends. Mm-hmm. And that's an even better friendship, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Do you know the little verse, the best friend is the one who knows the worst about you and loves you just the same? Just thought of that. That's what Jesus has done, hasn't he? Mm-hmm. You see, the wonder this morning of being a Christian is that Jesus has died in order that which separates us from God should be dealt with, and now we are his friends simply because of that. So therefore we ask the friends of Jesus, Jesus shares with things with us, and the other thing that I want to mention before we finish this morning is verse 15. No longer I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Isn't that lovely? So the Lord Jesus, our Saviour, says, I don't call you servants. We are servants. We've just looked at that. Because we are to be obedient to him as servants. And Paul actually talks about himself as a slave of Jesus Christ. A doulos rather than a respected servant. So we are his servants. But we are his joyful servants and we are his friends as well. And Jesus says, all things I heard from my Father I have made known to you. How do we know that then? The thing is this, again we go back to being open to what the Lord Jesus is saying to us through his word. And this is why for the Christian the word of God is the essential element of him knowing about God, as the Holy Spirit takes the word of God and applies it to us, you see. Now, one of the thrilling things is, however long we've been Christians, and looking around, I've probably been a Christian longer than any of you, because I became a Christian before most of you were, I think. But you see that constantly, however long we've been Christians, God always has new things to say to us. Now this is really important. Because friends communicate. They do. Friends share together. Friends learn from one another. And with this friend Jesus, now in heaven with his Father, he has given us the Holy Spirit and he has given us the Word of God. And I ask myself, how long is it since when I read the Word of God my heart was thrilled or challenged by something that God said to me through his Word, by his Spirit, because Jesus is at the right hand of God. And what I want to urge us as Christians before we bring things to a close this morning is to always be open to the words of our friend, the Lord Jesus. Always be open to the word of God. I have them, all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And he still makes new things known to us through his word that will thrill our hearts, challenge us perhaps, rebuke us, encourage us, just as we need them. So if we are a friend, there are two things really. This morning, if we know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we have a friend. It is as simple as that. One who is on our side. That friend Jesus is now at God's right hand and he brings us to the Father. So therefore, when I need a friend, when I do wrong, when I need help, then the Lord Jesus brings me to the Father as I speak to him. My friend, the one who is on my side, brings me into the domain of a holy, righteous God. And says, I die that that person might be my friend. And it's not that God is unwilling at all, because God is my friend through Jesus as well. He is on my side, the Father. And here on earth just now amongst us as we worship God, if the Holy Spirit is not here then we're wasting time and may as well go home. And that's why worship is unique. You don't often think that, but sometimes think of it as just sort of with a few friends getting together. But the Lord is here. Yes, the Holy Spirit is here. And through the Word of God, and as we spend time quietly and as we sing our hymns, then the Holy Spirit comes to us, our friend, and still reveals Jesus to us. still challenges us, encourages us. And that's why Jesus says, all the things that I've heard of my Father I've made known to you. And he still does that. And that's why being a Christian is such a wonderful thing. And belonging to a community of Christians is such a wonderful thing. So is Jesus my friend this morning? Is he your friend? Is our faith and trust in him for our salvation? Otherwise, the Bible says we are enemies of God, really. We are in rebellion against God. And just because we're here doesn't mean we're not, does it? But you know your heart, and I know mine. And when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour and friend, then there's an old song that talks about my forever friend, but there isn't one apart from Jesus, is there? Just saying to Linda this morning that most of the friends we know and love are very fragile now. Doesn't happen with Jesus. He's always there. He is. And he is our friend. But he asks our obedience not only because he is Lord, but because it's the very best thing for us. And he asks that we keep in close touch with him. Through the Holy Spirit, through the coming of ourselves together, through the Bible, that we might know him better, and a closer, and a dearer friend. I think that's what Jesus meant. And may the Lord just help us and bless us.